So, for the people who have never meditated before, there was just one young person, I think. And I don't know if you're affected by that already. The people here, when they get older and have their jobs, and you have a lot of things to remember in your life, your mind gets very clouded and occupied. And usually, you maybe know that there's a lot of thoughts going on in that mind the whole time. And what meditation is trying to do is trying to calm down the thought process in your mind. Huh? So, if that is worry about the future or about the past, we try to let all these thoughts that go into the future or past drop. If you find the mind is going to the future, you gently take it back. Now, we just stay, mind, we just stay here in that moment, in the present moment, with what is going on. And if you remember something from the past, you say, oh, that's not important right now for that half an hour. So take it gently back. And each time that happens, you will need a little bit what we call mindfulness. That is this being aware where your mind goes. And I always encourage the people here to put their mindfulness not so much into this sort of drive where they try to grab immediately and see, I'm in the future, now come back mind. I try to encourage people to be aware of the attitude they have in their mind while they're trying to meditate. And keeping up the most wholesome, kind, loving atmosphere in your own mind as possible. And then even if thoughts come up, they will all be in a kind and lovely room. Sort of sphere, and your mind state will be in a wholesome state. So at least what you're gonna accomplish then in that half hour is that you keep a very wholesome mind, and that is a very important thing. If you can maintain a wholesome mind state for half an hour, that is a big achievement. Where no negative, no critical thoughts come in. Or if they come in, you embrace them as kindly, with your kind attitude, as you do anything else that comes up. May it be body experience, that you become more aware of your body, and maybe something feels a little bit more unpleasant, because just by becoming aware of it, that is usually the case. Or if it's a sensation as a feeling, more like a mind feeling from a memory, sort of something comes up, strong memory, and Rachel, I remember she mentioned that last time, that something comes up of sadness or fear or whatever it is, and having that kindness of mind, then to deal in that moment with that thought in a embracing and gentle way. And well, that is always where I put the emphasis in the meditation. Not so much, and the more gentle it is, the more you feel at ease in the moment, the calmer the mind is going to become all by itself. We don't have to push around, we don't have to be that aware if the mind goes somewhere else. It's just if we're aware of that gentleness and kindness, the mind is going to stay more and more in the moment. It's going to be more and more happy with where you are. And it's going to calm down. It's going to calm down by itself. And that should be in itself a pleasant experience. Just try to see how pleasant that is when the mind isn't occupied by thought the whole time. If you see your thoughts calming down, try to feel that relief of not having to figure something out in the moment. Not having to plan anything, not having to control anything. And if you manage that, then the mind will get its reward instantly in the meditation, and meditation will become something where the mind sees it as, oh, there is a pleasant place there to go from time to time, into this more silent, into this less controlling, into this kinder sphere. Developing that as a possibility in your mind is meditation. So I'm gonna guide you through the meditation the first few minutes, maybe remind you from time to time, and if there are no more immediate questions, then we just start. All right then.
Let's go. Oh, I have to set my clock.
So please make yourself as comfortable as you can on your chairs, and don't be stingy with putting attention really to put yourself in a position where you know you sit in a way that is not restricted. That means if you sit on a chair, the angle of your legs towards the ground has to be proper, that you feel stable, your legs feel stable. The distance of your knees has to be correct, and it feels nice.
And then how close your butt is towards the backrest.
And that is really important, that you start from the very beginning. That is the first act of kindness. We don't want to damage that body. We know it's not always incredibly pleasant in that body, but we try to make it as comfortable as possible. So for the ones who have never meditated, you can start with your eyes open, or you can close your eyes already. And just whatever feels more comfortable. And then it's nice to take a deep breath now, please, and then you will feel if your back is in the right position, that your breath is not constricted. You may become a little bit straighter in your seat, but not rigid, just as the breath can flow easily when you take a deep one. And you will also feel that your shoulders might come down a little bit, if you're still holding up something in your shoulders. So please play along with me, take a few deep breaths, see if you can breathe. And then on the out breath, you can let the shoulders droop down. Fiddle around with your hands on your lap until they're comfortable, until it feels that it's just the right distance towards your body. It doesn't matter which hand is on top of the other, or if the fingers are just touching, whatever feels right, whatever doesn't put pressure on your shoulders again. If they're too far away, that usually drags your shoulders down, and then becomes uncomfortable and you get neck problems. And that doesn't mean you have to sit completely rigid from now on. You might, during the meditation, you might feel things still loosening up, hopefully. Shoulders coming down more, or you feel there was some muscles still involved that you don't need right now for sitting. Or if something is still not quite comfortable, then you wriggle a little bit, actually. Try to make that better. Don't have to... Never just sit there in pain and uncomfortable. Most important thing is that we know the way I'm sitting now, my body is not going to get harmed in that half hour. Nothing is going to happen to it. It's going to be not completely comfortable, but it's going to be alright. Now it's the first act of kindness you can do. You know you can breathe at ease. There's nothing holding the breath back. And then remember, we have nothing to do now in this half hour. No responsibility at all. Nobody is looking over our shoulder. And especially not ourselves. Only thing we're going to do is having a good old time with ourselves. Just watching very, very kindly what is going on exactly now, here. How does it feel? How does it feel in that body? Just see the thoughts coming up. And then we just remember very kindly. So, it's not that important now. Don't have to analyze. Don't have to acknowledge with thought. Don't have to prepare. We don't have to manipulate. Things coming up, becoming kindly aware, and just not following. Not important. Stay in the feeling realm. Just stay in this experience realm without comment. Just this kind curiosity, what is going on if nobody's running the show. you find your mind wants to think too much, doesn't want to stop, then just let it. You just keep your kindness up. Keep that wholesomeness up, that gentleness up. And just, okay, then go play if you have to. See if you can keep it in that realm where whatever happens there, you're gonna be nice to it. If you find your mind is looking for an object, you can always go to your breath. The body is doing that all by itself. It's always gonna happen, in and out and in and out. So if the mind is looking for a resting point, it's always a nice alternative. If it's happy to go from one sensation to the other, fine. See if you can be that pleasant observer. Observer with the goodwill. there's some happiness there in that realization that we don't have to do anything. Don't have to do anything. Wow. Holiday. The body is doing its own business. The mind is doing its own business. Nothing to do. Having this beautiful rest. just 5 minutes left of our meditation time together here now. How does it feel? Has the struggle stopped? If you still feel that something is not quite right, you're still holding on to something, you're still manipulating and struggling, now's the time that you can remember saying, that's completely alright. Just be so kind that you can allow yourself. That's okay. They're still holding on to something. Well done. No problem. Exactly as it should be. I'm going to ring the bell 3 times, and after the 3rd ring, please open your eyes and we finish the meditation for tonight. So, how did it go? Good.
Meditation's good, but it's not always easy getting the noise.
One thing that helps me from the Buddhist perspective in the meditation is that, that aspect of not self. That helps me in this because the stuff is coming up. You get feelings that you don't like. You maybe have thoughts coming up that you don't like. Something outside disturbs you, car or moped or whatever is too loud. Something is not right. And so that's to see that that stuff is all out of my control, but not just the stuff outside, the thoughts, the feelings, my perceptions, everything I can view another aspect of not self, because if I was in charge, I would be completely happy and peaceful, wouldn't we all? If I had any say, I would say, wow, I'm completely happy and peaceful. But what we call self is not under that direct control that we believe it is. And for me, that is a very beautiful thought. It's one thing that can be investigated, and the more you investigate it, the more you see, wow, that is true. I cannot control these perceptions. I cannot control this thinking. I cannot control these feelings. We all call that self. We cannot control this body. All of us consider our body to be very dear and close to us. The body is doing stuff that we don't want. Getting older, getting sick sometimes. Have to look after it. It's getting smelly if we don't wash it. So even the body that we consider really, well, that is me, you know. That is how we recognize people. Yes. Rachel, female. My face recognition is on and I can identify, oh, that is Rachel, okay. But it's all this, it's stuff we consider ourselves, but it's basically just, it's doing its own thing. And if I can establish in my meditation that watcher with exactly that kindness, sort of watching and seeing, oh yeah, it's not peaceful right now. But if it was up to me, it would be peaceful. So I see, oh, it's not up to me. So what is in my power in that moment? What really ever is in my power? And that is only in that moment to say, oh, that's alright, because I'm not in control. And I find that kindness, that treating this processes of feeling and thoughts and perception that is constantly going on, treating that as often as we can with this kindness and understanding, it makes the whole thing it feels friendly, and in that friendliness it calms down. That's what I experience. If this watcher sees, oh yeah, cannot control that. Sometimes I cannot even control if I'm friendly or not. Turn the volume up. Okay. So if the sense input is too unpleasant, then it's very hard to be friendly. If it's painful in the body, sort of, I don't want that. That's why I say make yourself as comfortable as you can. If you have chronic pain, well, shit of luck, actually. Take painkillers, do whatever you can. I mean, you're lucky to be born in the West, so there might be at least some relief for you from time to time. Because it is hard to be friendly with something which is unpleasant. Very, very difficult. But that is also not up to you. It's not up to me. If it was up to me, I would say, okay. Not that I just would say, okay, pain, disappear. Even if I accept, okay, I have a body, but I am in control of my mind. I say, okay, it's just a painful feeling. But I don't want it. And I cannot decide, no, okay, now I'm going to want it. We can try to deceive ourselves, use willpower or whatever, you know, oh, it's under my control, I don't care. It's still going to be unpleasant. Still going to be a struggle. But to have from time to time that remembering of that kindness in your mind, maybe when you were not so much in pain. I can do nothing about that right now. So what torture can I take away from myself now? The torture of the pain is going to be there, but the torture of I'm angry, I don't want it, everything is wrong, the thoughts that go around it, why me, how long it's going to last.
It
picks up and flies. Yes, right, but kindly. So in that way meditation can kick in, and where that concept of not self can kick in after a while. This is because it's strained in that moment where it's not that unpleasant. We can see where it's maybe a little bit unpleasant, and then we can see, wow, but if I change my attitude in that moment a tiny little bit, I see what it's not myself. If it was myself, it wouldn't be there, because I want pleasant stuff. So it's just, it brings, the whole process brings that up, this sort of feeling of pleasantness and unpleasantness. And with this little bit of training, the mind realizes what sort of, how can that attitudes towards that change, that I don't create any more suffering in my own mind towards it. And the first thing is then to train yourself, be as often as you can, be friendly with it. Make friends with it. And then I come to the subject I really wanted to talk about today, and that is contentment. And this contentment is something that escapes us very quickly. It's something we don't train the mind to do here in the West. In the West, the mind is trained to see what is wrong and what is missing. So it's always on the lookout out there to get that next thing that makes it a little bit better, or avoid that certain situation which makes your life harder. It never focuses on the things that are nice already. It's very, very hard to do. The soul that escapes so easily, and I see that in my own mind. I just one of the four aspects in Buddhism of right effort in your mind, of making the right effort to develop a good mind, is to keep the wholesome mind states you have already. You make an effort that you keep the good stuff that you have. You make an effort that you the good stuff that you haven't got yet. Look out for it. Try to develop it. More contentment, more gratitude, more love, more whatever, peacefulness. Good stuff that isn't developed yet. Try to develop that. On the negative side is the unwholesome things that haven't been developed. You try not to develop that. If you're not an angry person, you don't have to put effort into becoming more angry. If you're angry already a lot of the time, the mind has to see that that is an unpleasant mind state, and then it's going to turn away from that. So this is called right effort in Buddhism. And in the monastery, I have more opportunity, and I'm a little bit more aware of most of you in the world, because you do your jobs and you have things that keep you busy, and sometimes you're so much in your little world that it's easy to forget things. I do that as well, but I'm getting reminded more often in the monastery. But one thing I find very hard is not so much being aware of my negative mind states or trying to keep my positive mind states, but developing the wholesome mind states I haven't developed yet. And to make, I just thought of just making this contentment, making that stronger. How is that even possible to make that stronger? And the only way something becomes stronger is first we have to be aware of it, and then something positive has to be associated with it. That is how the mind inclines towards something. That's how the mind works. You see something that you perceive as beautiful, as attractive, and the mind leans towards that. And if it's especially beautiful and you get satisfaction out of it, the mind tries to come up with strategies to keep that. For example, you really thought buying that beautiful car would give you lots of happiness. And it's a good car, and you drive with it and you enjoy it when you drive it. And then you develop strategies of making sure that it doesn't get stolen, that you have it inspected from time to time, that it doesn't go bad, check the tire pressure, and so on. Very, very simple example, that something we appreciate, we look after, and we don't have to tell the mind basically to enjoy that. It's basically, it's an enjoyable thing, it drives me around. So the same thing would be for contentment. If I manage to see the things that are going right in my life, make that clear enough in my mind that that I can bring up a feeling, the mind will remember that. And so I try to come up with different strategies. First thing obviously is always to put it in contrast. Sometimes I don't get many news in the monastery. Sometimes I listen to the 5 minutes news in the morning and listen to what's going on in the world. And one possibility is, oh wow, what a horrible world, you know, somebody shot 50 people in a gay club, I just heard, that's right, and 50 more injured or more. How can somebody be so crazy? What kind of world is that actually? And then I can turn the whole thing around and think, wow, I'm living in a place which is incredibly peaceful. I'm living in a place I'm looked after. People make always their greatest effort to be kind to each other. Doesn't always work 100%, but pretty good. I live in a beautiful forest. I have beautiful fresh air. I don't feel threatened. And then sometimes it's sort of, wow, that is true. That is all true. I live in a country that when something goes wrong with me, with this body, I get incredible good, somebody's going to take incredibly good care of it. Best medicine is available if I choose alternative medicine or Western medicine or whatever. I have the opportunity to look around for that here in this country. I don't have constant anxiety about not being able to feed myself. If I need more clothes, I can go to the storeroom and get myself another pullover or socks or whatnot. You can go in the shopping center and buy yourself that stuff. It seems so fundamental that it completely escapes ourselves. Somebody is now in a refugee camp which feels insecure. Maybe the women there have to be very careful at night walking around, going to the toilet, whatever. You have to stand in the queue the next morning to get something to eat again. The whole atmosphere, I guess, is very angry, because people are not happy. People want to get out of there. People are very discontent. People are exactly there where they don't want to be. So it's very, very unpleasant. And maybe you're cold at night, and maybe you're cold in the morning, and you're wet, and it's damp, and it stinks, and there are insects, and I don't know what is going on in this case. And that is obviously the other extreme. Being in a camp. And then these people maybe leave the camp and they have that relief for a short while, maybe having a better home, maybe they don't not afraid anymore that they don't have anything to eat, maybe they get a job and they get their food and they can go to the supermarket and they have their television. And they have their carpets, and they have their electrical heaters, and electrical blankets, and their computer, and their laptops, and their iPads, and their, I don't know. And it just becomes more and more and more, and the thing supposed to be becomes more comfortable and comfortable and comfortable. Why is it that people are not happy? Why is it not that that direction doesn't increase the happiness of the people more and more and more? Because we forget, we constantly forget this gratitude, this contentment, this, wow, I have that already. I don't have to look out there, I don't have to be afraid the whole time. I know some nice people I can talk to. I have food, I have clothing, I have medicine. Wow. And so the only way we can we can make that feeling appear again is by really honestly contemplating how much we really have a good fortune, good karma, being living in that society here. Sure, we can pick out the negative stuff. It's spiritually dead, or what, you know, culturally dead, and not arty-farty enough, or whatever. But it's as a basic provision, what we need as human beings, we're absolutely where we cannot wish it any better. Huh? Okay, the amount of choice we have with food and whatnot. Keeping the body healthy, the amount of spare time is just endless, inconceivable 100 or 150 years ago. Absolutely mind blowing, I guess, for somebody from a century before. The sort of doors open to us. Just for me, going back to my parents to Germany, flying, what is that, 14,000 kilometers in one little go. That would have been a month long tour 50 years ago or whatnot by ship, and sort of 100-150 years ago that was a real adventure, and you didn't know if you would make it. So this we have increased that level of comfort constantly, but it only goes so far. That's why we get disillusioned in the West, because we cannot believe that dream anymore, that it's just more and more and more, and we get happier and happier. There is that point where we're not cold anymore, we're not fearful constantly. We have enough to eat, we have a warm, comfortable house. All the essentials that the people who don't have that, they believe still, if I just get that, I'm going to be happy. If I can just provide for my family, I can just make sure that they are safe. Just have a home to live in. But it's not true. The mind doesn't work like that. I have to see that very, very clearly. The mind is not there to say, "Wow, thank you so much. Now I'm going to be content and happy." It's still looking out there, looking out, searching. Something must still out there be out there to make me happy. It's not. It's not out there. It's that developing your mind to see what is there already in the first place. There's a lot of things happening that we can be grateful for. A lot of possibility to develop the mind in these wholesome qualities that we haven't developed yet. And why is it wholesome? Why? Because it's more peaceful. It's beautiful there. Contentment is not something, "Oh, I should be content." Contentment is, and there goes some safety with this contentment. It's an incredible feeling of safety, because you see, wow, it doesn't need that much. I don't need that much. I don't have to believe any weird dream out there anymore. If you contemplate contentment and you find it as that feeling in the moment, it's just like, wow, that exists in my mind already. It's incredible. So I encourage you to do contemplations in that direction from time to time. Instead of figuring out what is going wrong, getting negative about the news you hear, go exactly in the opposite direction. Go into contentment and gratitude. Say, "Wow, thank you that that hasn't happened to me yet. Thank you. That is, I still live in a community which is relatively safe. I don't, at least I don't have to have fear every day. Thank you for feeling safe that I don't have to worry every day if I get something to eat the next. Because that is for many, for billions of people on this planet, that is a reality. Not that they would be so much happier if they got food every day, but basically would be where we are now. We're just seeing that outside stuff, making the body comfortable, goes to a certain point, and then the training of the mind has to begin. If the mind is not trained, if you haven't figured out how that works, you can be anywhere you want and you're going to be unhappy. You can have anything you want, you're going to be unhappy. So the key is always to figure out what is wholesome and then making that attractive to the mind, by developing a feeling towards it. And gratitude, contentment, is a feeling of at ease, of no stress. Yeah, it's beautiful. And then the mind doesn't have to be told, "Wow, mind, look, that is beautiful." The mind recognizes beauty. And it's a beauty that is less dependent on the outside, so that has a special quality to it. Has that quality of, wow, how little it takes. It makes it even stronger, that gratitude. You see that is in your happening in your own mind. Well, and I encourage you to go in that direction. I try myself as well, so good luck. Okay, we still have a few minutes if there are some questions still. Oh no, we don't, huh? No, 20 past, yes. 20 past. So anything comes to mind?
Everybody's content now.
Too content.
I find stop watching.
You stopped it? If you watch it too much, it usually makes you more miserable, because the emphasis is very much on the negative already. What goes wrong in the world? It's not about what goes right. It's about what sort of misery happens in the world.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it anyway.
Exactly. If you see that your mind gets more negative watching it, ask yourself, what good does it do myself or anybody else if I make my mind more negative? The only good thing that can happen is that you get more negative in your immediate surrounding, and then you make the people around you more negative, they make you more negative, more miserable. So yeah, obviously we have to be careful what input, how much input do we put into that mind, definitely. But no, completely, it can also be too rigid, you know. And sort of see how, what effect it has on your mind, and a little bit, to know a little bit what is going on, I guess, if you live in the world, is also not quite wrong. Still have to vote soon and whatnot, so yeah. Have to be a little bit informed, but yeah, see the impact on your mind. Always watch that. Right? And if it's too much, then try to watch something more wholesome, maybe a wholesome documentary or a wholesome book or whatever it is.
I find that contentment comes for me when I'm looking at things. I'm not looking with my eyes, I'm looking with my heart. And to me, that has made a big difference in my life. When I was younger, I travelled the world looking for something. I didn't know what I was looking for. And I came home one day and I said to myself, "My God, I found it." And it was contentment. And I've lived most of my life like that, and I don't see things through my eyes, I see things through my heart.
What do you exactly mean by that?
Well, I don't, if I see leaves on a tree blowing, I'm not just seeing leaves on a tree blowing. I'm seeing everything that goes to make that tree, to make that leaf, to make that wind, and I'm seeing that from inside me, not just looking with my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Might sound strange to other people.
No, I mean, this is the same thing we do in the meditation, what I try to describe as the one watching. Huh? The one watching is not a thought. Huh? The one watching is an attitude. Huh? If you watch the leaves in the tree with a kind attitude, then you see the beauty in it.
Mm.
Huh?
Mm. It's just not leaves blowing on a tree. There's so many more aspects to it.
Well, and it's your perception. It's gonna be your perception, nothing
mm.
more.
Mm.
Huh? Somebody else is occupied with something else.
Something else.
He hates trees, basically. Yeah. He just thinks, wow, the next fall I have to sweep them all away and they're gonna clog my gutters and whatnot. And he's getting really miserable watching the tree.
Mm.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So basically, what we have to realize is it is my attitude in that moment that it decides what is reality for me or not. And when you say I'm watching that through my heart, then you're watching that with a kind heart or with a kind perception, I would call it, in that moment. Huh?
Mm.
And that obviously is developing wholesome mindset. Huh? If you see that in a beautiful and calm and appreciative way, then that is a wholesome mind state. Huh? And it feels right. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
It feels calm. It feels beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Thanks very much.